here we are with clip one of the debunking series of the History Channel's 9/11 Conspiracies, Fact or Fiction. And this is a 23-part series. And what I'm doing here today is Thursday, September 13th, 2007. They, on the History Channel's show, 9/11 Conspiracies, Fact or Fiction, they show where this is the conspiracy theory, and this is their answer to it. Basically, the whole thing is run by Popular Mechanics, Jim Meggs over there, the editor-in-chief. It's owned by Hearst Publishing, who define yellow journalism. And that stuff's all facts. I've covered that stuff before. We knew this was going to be a hit piece when it came out. And the first half an hour of the show is they're really critical of the Loose Change movie, calling it propaganda. They also attack David Ray Griffin, James Fetzer, Webster Tarpley, Alex Jones. And they try to make it seem like, you know, they're Holocaust deniers. You know what I mean? And attributing it 9/11 and pulling on the heartstrings of America, but they're not really showing too much facts. And they got the guy from the Project for a New American Century who wrote the PNAC document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, Thomas Donnelly, on there. And he's saying, oh, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that, you know, we were going to do 9/11 and stuff. And they're trying to debunk that by using an elitist himself. And most of their so-called experts are people who working for the establishment. They're working for the elite. I mean, this really paints a very critical picture of the 9/11 truth movement, and they don't even talk about most of the hot issues. They're picking on a few subjects there, and their rebuttals are basically, well, I'm James Meggs, editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics, and this guy here, he worked with the team that covered up Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center's debris, and we're just going to tell you this story and say, well, that's not true, and just because we say it's not true, it's not true. And that's mostly what all their debunking is. And I'm going to play the 23 clips here, starting with this clip one that we're talking about now. And it's basically, their clips are anywhere from 30 seconds to 5 minutes, and that's it for debunking each one of these questions. And the first one: were the Twin Towers destroyed by demolition? Okay, and they say that's what the conspiracy theory, here is the experts. Now, the experts in this clip are Gene Corley and Matthew Levy, a forensic engineer and a structural engineer. They both work for, one of them works for Silverstein Weiligner Associate Studies, who did the study for the Silverstein report for his insurance claim, because he is the leaseholder for the World Trade Center complex. The other guy works for a company called CTL Group. They lead the building performance assessment team, and they investigated the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, too. And this guy was working to evaluate performance at the Pentagon. So we've got government insiders, which are their so-called experts here in this first clip. This starts out and it says that, you know, what is the motivation for people like myself is what he's talking about. What is our motivation? Why would we come up with such outrageous conspiracy theories is basically the premise of this program. I say the motivation is pretty clear because the evidence is pretty clear. And just because these people want to be shills for the establishment does not mean that, you know, people like myself care to be involved in that kind of propaganda that the History Channel is putting out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to debunk everything that you have to say over there at the History Channel, at Popular Mechanics, and with factual basis. And this is what the guy says. He says that we never use engineering basis. We never use an engineering basis to back up any of our facts. Well, what about AE911truth.org, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth? You go there and you'll find 170 architectural and engineering professionals. plus 406 other supporters, including architectural and engineering students. And they've joined in calling on Congress for a new investigation. You know, and the guy says, well, we had our hands on the steel. Well, I'm going to present evidence in this clip that shows that they never even got their hands on the steel till 3 weeks later after Giuliani and their gang cleaned up the mess. And plus, this group used computer-generated models to describe how the collapse happened. And, you know, you can make up anything you want on computer-generated models. This guy's thing is that all of 47 support columns in the World Trade Center buildings all failed at the same time. Not only in Twin Tower 1, but Twin Tower 2. And, you know, we'll get into Building 7 later on. But this first one is, the official story is that fire damage caused the collapse. And what they're saying is that the impact of the plane and the fire is what caused the Twin Towers to collapse. That's what this Matthew Levy and Gene Corley say. What they're saying is, yeah, the temperatures didn't approach the melting point of steel, but it didn't need to weaken it. And it said that the office furniture and carpet and stuff was enough to sustain the fire temperatures. And we're going to get into them fire temperatures in this segment. And to where we're talking about weeks where molten steel was still at the ground zero. For weeks later, temperatures of over 1,500 degrees. So what would explain that? Certainly not office furniture and carpeting and jet fuel. So we are going to debunk these guys. Listen to what their response to this one was. It was, were the Twin Towers destroyed by demolition? This is what they had to say.
I don't know the motivations for individuals who do this sort of thing. I do know, however, that they never have an engineering basis for their conclusions, and they virtually always ignore the facts, the physical evidence, and the calculations that have been made to try to determine what happened.
Gene Corley, one of the nation's leading forensic engineers, headed the building performance investigation of the World Trade Center following the attacks.
We were there. We had our hands on the pieces of steel. What we did was factual. We back it up with calculations. We back it up with scientific principle.
Some people might think that it looks like a controlled demolition, but it has nothing to do with it. We were able to develop an analytical analog of the whole collapse mechanism. It had nothing to do with any outside or inside explosives other than the impact of the plane and the fire.
Now, you see what I mean? They don't really have much to say except, well, I'm an expert, and I'm saying this is how it happened, so you're to believe me. On this Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, it says, why are architects and engineers reexamining the World Trade Center collapses? Architects and engineers are trained to design buildings that function well and withstand potentially destructive forces. However, the three high-rise buildings at the World Trade Center, which collapsed on 9/11, the Twin Towers plus World Trade Center Building 7, presented us with a body of evidence, example, controlled demolition, that was clearly outside the scope of our training and experience. In addition, the shock that hit us on that date from the repeated attacks and staggering loss of life has limited our ability to rationally evaluate what really happened. We therefore found ourselves relying solely upon the judgment of outside experts, quote. So they're re-examining it for themselves instead of taking what Popular Mechanics' word is for it and what others' word for it is. And, I mean, we're talking about scientists, engineers, fire departments, all for 9/11 Truth, all claiming that the towers were destroyed by demolition. You know, and think about it. This guy here, Matthew Levy, who they're so-called expert, basically he said that they concluded the fires did not lead to the collapses of the floors affected before the towers fell. This was their report for Silverstein so he could get his insurance claim. And they were trying to say it was of no fault at all of the construction of the building. The construction of the building was fine. So they weren't at fault at all. Now this guy also worked along this engineering team of Weldinger Associates, led by Matthews Levy, also has Dr. Gene Corley, who led the FEMA study, on his team, who is the other expert in this clip. So we got these two guys working together for Larry Silverstein, the lease owner. Now, do you want to believe them, guys, or what? I mean, listen to this clip from Matthew Levy on the Discovery Channel.
If you've seen many of the managed demolitions where they implode a building and they cause it essentially to fall vertically because they cause all of the vertical columns to fail simultaneously, that's exactly what it looked like, and that's what happened.
Now see how he's saying the 46 steel columns just gave way at the same time. And it says here that the columns, the compromise, the core, had failed at the same time instantaneously. How could this be true? You know, it says Silverstein commissioned the reports for its insurance claim and the World Trade Center. The organization has already given the reports to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is studying the collapse of the towers and the 7 World Trade as part of a 2-year study. Their final report isn't even out yet. But it says here, the Silverstein report concluded that the fire temperatures were lower than typical fully developed office fires. The fires were fueled by office furniture and floor contents initially ignited by jet fuel, which burned out quickly. Dust and debris distributed by the crashes inhibited the fires, which at the impact floors were between 750 degrees Fahrenheit and 1300 degrees Fahrenheit. Which is basically about what jet fuel, it says right here, the jet fuel burned out quickly. That's what the big fireball was when you seen the plane go into the towers. The big fireball was most of that jet fuel burning off at that point. And, you know, we've got where the firefighters have even said that it was burning, and you could see it for yourself, it was burning black, it was a cool fire. You know, they got their diagram here and stuff, and I've got that up at the website harrythomas.info, where you can find under the disputing popular mechanics section all this information. Now it says, so how much temperature really weakens steel? Now they're trying to say that the steel will weaken at around 1500 degrees, which is scientifically impossible. And you can go to science and scientists and scholars for 9/11 truth. Go over here to the engineer and architectures. I mean, this is ridiculous. This guy, Gene Corley, who you just heard in the clip from Popular Mechanics, and their little 1.5-minute statement that was the final word for how the Twin Towers, they weren't destroyed by demolition. And the public's supposed to believe that. After they've pulled on the heartstrings of America for half an hour, running up their propaganda campaign against loose change, and trying to protect themselves by putting neocons on, saying, oh, well, that's not what I meant in the document Rebuilding America's Defenses. And you can read that for yourself in the documents section at harrythomas.info. But this guy, Gene Corley, is a senior vice president of CTL Group. He led the Building Performance Assessment Team, investigating the bombings of the Mira Federal Building in Oklahoma City, and he's in September 2001, he served as a team leader to evaluate performance of the Pentagon and was selected to head the team to study building performance after the attack of the New York's World Trade Center. You can get his interviews right there online. I mean, you go ahead and listen to these guys for yourself. See what their claims are. You know, but let's take a look back in history. And for each one of these 23 clips, I'm going to be using different sources of information. I've got a lot of this stuff here is posted up in the Special Report news page going along with this clip. And here it is, the FBI allowed the 1993 World Trade Center bombing to happen. Now let's remember this in history. This is out of the New York Times, okay? The informer was to have helped the plotters build the bomb and supply the fake powder. But the plan was called off by an FBI supervisor who had other ideas about how the informer, Imad Salam, should be used. Now, this informer is working with the FBI. Well, the informer provided the bomb supplies through the FBI. The account, which is given in transcript of hundreds of hours of tape recordings, is that Mr. Salam secretly made his talks with law enforcement agencies, portraying the authorities as being in a far better position than previously known to foil the February 26 bombing of the New York City's tallest towers. So they did it in 93, and the FBI had a hand in it. The transcript quotes Mr. Salam as saying he wanted to complain in the FBI headquarters in Washington about the Bureau's failure to stop the bombing, but was dissuaded by an agent identified as John Antisef. So we've got corrupt individuals already right out the gate covering up this stuff in 93, where the FBI was behind it. They allowed it to happen. So why would you think that they're not involved this time with it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to say right off the bat, no, there's no way that the government would be behind something like this. Well, where are you getting your facts from? Not from history. I mean, even on the History Channel, they said that they had prior knowledge of Pearl Harbor. And these people are talking about Pearl Harbor and everything else in this documentary. That's just ridiculous. Now, let's talk about Silverstein making a huge profit of the 9/11 attacks. Now, we just shown you how their so-called experts work for Larry Silverstein. So let's see about motivation. 6 months before the 9/11 attacks, the World Trade Center was privatized, being leased to a private sector developer. The lease was purchased by the Silverstein Group for $3.2 billion. This is a dream come true, Larry Silverstein said. We will be in control of a prized asset, and we will seek to develop its potential, rising it to new heights, is what he said. The World Trade Centers were a financial failure. For years, the Port Authority treated the building like an aging dinosaur, attempting on several occasions to get permits to demolish the building for liability reasons, but being turned down due to known as asbestos problem. Further, it was well known that the only reason the building was still standing until 9/11 was because it was too costly to disassemble the Twin Towers floor by floor, since the Port Authority was prohibited legally from demolishing the buildings. So the Port Authority wanted these buildings to come down. They couldn't bring them down unless all the asbestos was removed, and they would have to do it floor by floor. So we're talking about, you know, other New York developers have been driven into bankruptcy by the costly mandated renovations, and the $200 million represented an entire year's worth of revenues from the World Trade Center towers. Income coming in and income going out is off balance. This was a financial failure. Instead of renovation, Silverstein is rebuilding, funded by the insurance coverage on the property, which fortuitously covered acts of terrorism. And he purposely put that in his policy, what, 6 months prior or whatever it was in July when he bought the complex, about terrorism. He already owned one of the buildings. Silverstein filed TWO insurance claims for the maximum amount of the policy based on the two, in Silverstein's view, separate attacks. So he wanted $7.1 billion. He ended up getting, I think, $4.6 billion it was. As reported in the Washington Post, the insurance company Swiss Re has gone to court to argue that the 9/11 disaster was only one attack, not two, and therefore the insurance payout should be limited to $3.55 billion. Still, enough to rebuild the complex. So he's getting all brand new buildings, a prime realty spot, all the money. Follow the money. That's what I do. Follow the money. And we'll talk about Silverstein later on in one of the other clips, where he did call for a pulling of Building 7. We've covered that engineers and architects are speaking out for 9/11 truth, so that's a lie. That people like myself aren't just like misled cattle that just don't know what they're talking about and just repeat what other people have to say. And we've established that Larry Silverstein made huge profit off 9/11 attacks, and that the History Channel so-called experts work for Larry Silverstein, amongst others. Now, what about security in the World Trade Center complex? Says here, how could they let this happen? They knew this building was a target. I mean, right in 93. Over the past few weeks, we've evacuated a number of times, which is unusual. I think they had an inkling something was going on. Now, this is people that work in the building. Now, what happened is, weeks prior to 9/11, they were having total evacuations of the buildings. They were doing drills, and then they said they had to change, do some kind of work in the buildings. So there was periods where many, many hours where everybody was evacuated from the building and the power was cut off. No security cameras or nothing in there. And they even pulled out the bomb-sniffing dogs because they were on heightened security. Now, who was in charge of security? Well, 9/11 security at the World Trade Center complex was courtesy of Marvin Bush. Marvin P. Bush, the president's younger brother, was a principal in a company called Sirocom that provided security for the World Trade Center, United Airlines, and Dulles International Airport. Dulles International Airport is where one of the hijackings of the plane that hit the tower took place. The company, Burns noted, was backed by Quam Am, a Kuwaiti American investment firm whose board members include Marvin Burns. Now, according to present CEO Barry McDaniel, the company had an ongoing contract to handle security at the World Trade Center up to the day the buildings fell down. So the contract ended on the morning of September 11, 2001. What a heck of a coincidence that is. The company lists as government clients the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, and the Department of Justice. In projects that often require state-of-the-art security solutions for classified or high-risk government sites. Okay, the Dulles International contract is another matter. Dulles is regarded as an absolutely sensitive airport. According to security consultant Wayne Black, head of Florida-based security firm, due to its location, size, and number of international carriers it serves. So this company that the president's brother, Marvin Bush, is involved in, their clients are the government. They work for the government. I mean, think about that. The U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, these are all government contracts. So figure it out yourself. I mean, that cannot be that strange of a coincidence. Plus, heightened World Trade Center security alert was lifted on the 6th, September 6th of 2001. The World Trade Center was destroyed just days after heightened security alert was lifted at the landmark 110-story tower, security personnel said yesterday. Okay, and then there was a power down in World Trade Center 2 the weekend before 9/11. On the weekend of 9/8 and 9/9, there was a power down condition in World Trade Center Tower 2, the South Tower. And from approximately about 36 hours from floor 50 and up. So, says Bush's cousin had a fortunate change of venue for a September 11th business conference. President Bush's cousin should have been in the World Trade Center when it was attacked. Jim Pierce, managing director of AON Corporations, had arranged a business conference on the 105th floor of the South Tower where its New York offices were based. But this group was too large, so they decided to move across the street to the Millennium Hotel. Isn't that convenient enough? Now, there's also been other reports where people were warned not to fly on 9/11, not to go to Manhattan on 9/11. So this doesn't surprise me at all. And FEMA all of a sudden just happened to show up on September 10th, 2001, the night before September 11th. Isn't that convenient? I mean, there's a lot of conveniences here. And when you get too many coincidences, they're not coincidences, believe me. Dan Brombard, 24, a software engineer for Merrick, was stunned to find that the building officials in One World Trade Center were telling workers not to evacuate even after the first jet struck. "You can try, but you're at your own risk," he quoted one official as telling a group of 100 people on the 75th floor. So security this day, September 11th, was telling people to go back to their offices, that everything was safe. They killed people by doing that. They should have been evacuating this building. This is the announcement over the PA system telling people that the building is secure and they can return to their desks. Listen to this.
"In the neighboring South Tower, people are also evacuating. But an announcement over the PA system tells workers their building is secure and they can return to their desks. An announcement that will soon have tragic consequences."
Now, it says here, if they had continued on and exited the building, all of the lives would have been spared. But that's not the way it happened. "As soon as we reached the concourse level, security guard stopped us and said, 'Where are you going?'" Stanley explained about seeing fire in Tower 1. According to Stanley, guard said, "Oh, that was just an accident. Two World Trade is secured. Go back to your office." It says here, "Today it's still a mystery why no one in the towers reached the roof." Listen to this.
"Today it is still a mystery why no one in the towers reached the roof. The pilots say there's nothing they could have done."
Now, the solution to the mystery is simple. The roof doors were locked, as were many stairway doors. So, The roof doors were locked, stairway doors were locked, preventing people from getting out to the roof. And they were wondering why no one reached the roof of the towers. And it says here, the World Trade Center surveillance tapes feared missing. Imagine my surprise. Surveillance tapes and maintenance logs are among missing evidence as investigators try to figure out why the World Trade Center collapsed. The lost records probably contain vital information that could help answer questions. So another convenience that the security tapes and Marvin Bush, president's younger brother, head of security, World Trade Center complex, says Fire Engineering Magazine has good reason to believe that the official investigation blessed by FEMA and run by the American Society of Civil Engineers. Now, the official investigation blessed by FEMA and run by the American Society of Civil Engineers, if you'll go back and look at the two so-called experts, they are both members of the American Society of Civil Engineers. And Fire Engineering Magazine calls it a half-baked farce. I've got that up, and I've got the FEMA World Trade Center collapse analysis farce. And this goes on to say that the BPAT team deployed to the World Trade Center site was assembled by the American Society of Civil Engineers and is headed by Gene Corley, a PhD in physical engineering, senior vice president of the Construction Technologies Laboratory in Skokie, Illinois. He was also principal investigator in the FEMA study in Oklahoma City's Murrah Federal Office Building. On September 11th, ASCE, in partnership with a number of other professional organizations, commenced the formation of an independent team of experts to conduct a building performance assessment study at the World Trade Center site as part of the disaster response procedure. In late September, this team was officially appointed as the BPAT team and was funded by FEMA. So they're funded by the government. This guy's report says here that there was a 3-week delay after the attacks before they got any of the wreckage from the Fresh Kills landfill. Now think about this. This is called the Fresh Kills landfill, and Giuliani had all the debris, including body parts, sent to the Fresh Kills landfill. And that's how they treated the dead of 9/11 on that day. Beside the point of that, delay of 3 weeks. So the Structural Engineer Association in New York, they didn't even get, you know, they didn't even get the stuff. They got pieces of scrap, you know. In the month that lasts between the terrorist attacks and the deployment of the BPAT team, a significant amount of steel debris, including most of the steel from the upper floors, was removed from the rubble pile, cut into smaller sections, and either melted at the recycling pan or shipped out of the U.S. Most of this went to China, in fact. Some of the critical pieces of steel, including the suspension trusses from the tops of the towers and the internal support columns, were gone before the first BPAT team member ever reached the site. And this guy was in the clip saying, "We had our hands on the steel, remember? We gave a good report." I mean, and that's it. So, believe me, the towers were not destroyed by demolition, because I'm working for the government, I'm working for the leaseholder, I say so, and I had my hands on the steel. I mean, you heard them yourself. But he didn't even get any of the good steel. It was all gone. Dr. Frederick Maurer, associate professor in Fire Protection Engineering Department at University of Maryland, said he believed the decision could ultimately compromise any investigation of the collapses. "I find the speed in which the potential important evidence was removed and recycled to be appalling." So here we go. Here's a professor, you know, Fire Protection Engineering Department, and he says he smells a rat. And it says here, "Time is short. Piles of high-strength steel evidence are being cut into chunks for export to recycling plants in the Far East. The deals with the scrap merchants have already been made." Now listen to this.
Less than 3 miles from where the towers once stood, clues to their collapse lie in gigantic, twisted heaps in this New Jersey scrapyard. Time is short. The piles of high-strength steel evidence are being cut into chunks for export to recycling plants in the Far East. The deals with the scrap merchants have already been made.
See, I've got these clips are all up at harrythomas.info. Now, we're talking about the BPAT team was headed by the principal investigator in the FEMA study of the Oklahoma City bombing. This is not a good sign. Also know that the World Trade Center debris was rapidly removed by CDI, who also removed the evidence from the Murrah building at the Oklahoma City bombings. You know, all these coincidences, huh? More and more coincidences. More and more facts leading up to the fact that these towers were demoed. Here's out of Fire Engineering magazine. Burning questions need answers. Fire Engineering's Bill Manning calls for a comprehensive investigation of the World Trade Center collapse. And it says here that a full-blown investigation by an independent panel established solely for that purpose, the World Trade Center fire and collapse, will amount to paper and computer-generated hypotheticals, Manning explained. See, because they've removed all the evidence, like we were talking about, these experts that are saying that they built this computer-generated model. This guy's saying that that's not good enough. These are just a paper and computer-generated hypotheticals, no factual basis. And this guy's accusing us of being paranoid. When we're in Fire Engineering magazine, we got architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. This guy is not wanting to tell the public the real story about truly what the 9/11 movement is all about. Now, what about shaped charges in the World Trade Center collapses? And it says here that I've got a picture of this. You can see the beams that were left in the wreckage, where there was only two or three stories of the beams. And you're talking about, they're cut at an angle. They're cut at an angle, just like a shaped charge would do. Which, when could they possibly have went in there? And they've got the people that worked in the building that heard them up on other floors using heavy equipment and stuff. You know, since Marvin Bush was the head of security, is it not too far out to say that the government did have access to the building, to the security, and they could have cut? What they do is they cut into the steel beams at an angle so that when the detonations go off, they collapse the way they want them to go at the angle that they want them to go. Listen to this clip.
Here's what demolition experts use in steel-framed buildings. The linear-shaped charge.
It's a chevron-shaped or V-shaped charge that you can focus at a specific target, and it's lethal. It generates around 3 million pounds per square inch pressure at a speed, depending on the explosive inside the shaped charge, in excess of 27,000 feet per second.
Besides the unfathomably powerful shaped charge, blasters have a lot of tricks.
There are over 1,000 different types of explosive. Different because they detonate at varying speeds.
This is detonating cord, and this burns at about 21,000 feet per second. Comes in all colors, pastels too.
With the use of delays, we can control pretty much where the debris lands. We can control vibration. We can control noise levels. Timing and delays are the key to just about everything in our business.
Now see, it says the job of the shaped charge is to cut the steel H beams. The way we do this is by cutting the beam at an angle, which is made through a series of beams, and then the building shifts over and walks where they want. Now these are demolition experts. Listen to this clip.
These core columns were discovered after the collapse. The angled cut occurs in exactly the manner that shaped charges slice through steel beams to control the way they fall. Notice the hardened, once liquid metal. Was thermite used with the shaped charge?
The job of the shaped charge is to cut steel H-beams.
The way we do this is by cutting the beam at an angle, which, through a series of beams cut at the same angle, will tend to make the building shift over and walk.
Now this guy at Popular Mechanics magazine and all has said that he talked to demolition companies and all, and you know, pull it isn't a term, and apparently he doesn't know anything about these shape charges. And there's a nice picture of it, and you can see how they're completely cut at the angle. Another coincidence, I guess, or more evidence that these buildings were detonated. I mean, I'm looking at the pictures right now, and you can see every one of these supposed support beams are cut at angles. Here's a demonstration of a linear shaped charge. Listen to the sound of this. Okay? Now, these are World Trade Center firefighters shocked by a loud explosion where they were just outside the towers on a payphone. Listen to this.
Yeah, here's one of the guys who can tell you I'm okay, all right? Here, hold on. You want to call your mother or something?
Sound familiar? Because the linear-shaped charge sounded to me just like the same thing that the firefighters heard by a loud explosion right before the towers came down. The linear-shaped charge demonstrates the sound made by high-velocity explosives. The sound which shocked the firefighters is all but identical, thus indicating it was created by a high-velocity explosive detonation. Now, why were high-velocity explosives detonating in the vicinity of the World Trade Center? Now, here we go. This is USGS, Science for a Changing World. And the results of the Airborne Visible Infrared Imaging Spectrometer, remote sensing data and interpretation showed a distribution and intensity of thermal hot spots in the area in and around the World Trade Center on September 16th and 23rd. Of 2001. Data collected on the 16th was processed, interpreted, and released to the emergency response teams on the 18th of September 2001. It shows significant thermal hotspots on September 16th, and by September 23rd, most of the hotspots had cooled or the fires had been put out. This is not right, because if most of the jet fuel burned off immediately, like they had said, then how come these hot spots are there for so long? And in fact, it's longer than the 23rd, because we've got pictures of there where the core of the pile is about 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, how could 2-3 weeks later there still be 2,000 degree fires at ground zero? You know, and supposedly if all the jet fuel burned off immediately, most of it, and the fire that supposedly weakened the steel that made the collapse happen was fueled by office furniture and carpeting and stuff, this doesn't make any sense. Now listen to this clip.
This is how it's been since day one. Oh, it's unbelievable. And this is 6 weeks later, almost 6 weeks later. And as we get closer to the center of this, it gets hotter and hotter. It's probably 1,500 degrees. We've had some small windows into what we thought was a core at some point, and it looked like an oven. You know, it was just roaring inside. And it was just a bright, bright reddish-orange color. See that stuff he's pulling out?
What was that, Chief?
We're going to hold off on the water. See the stuff he's pulling out?
Yeah.
It's red hot. If we hit it too much steam, you won't be able to see what he's doing.
Great.
See? 6 weeks later, they say here. Now, that's even farther than the 23rd. And it's probably 1,500 degrees, he says. This is just crazy. Says, why was the temperature at the core of the pile nearly 500 degrees hotter than the maximum burning temperature of jet fuel a full 7 days after the collapse? So what caused the hot spots deep in the wreckage? Now, your gut reaction would be jet fuel is what made the fire so intense. A lot of people figured that's what melted the steel. Indeed, it didn't. The steel did not melt. And this came out of firehouse.com. Okay, Dr. Frank Gale, he's a metals expert on the jet fuel fires which burned in the World Trade Center's buildings. Now, you know, where are all the experts? You're seeing them here. People are out. Engineers, scientists, experts, okay? Not these so-called experts that work for the government over there at History Channel. Molten steel was found 3, 4, 5 weeks later, and the rubble was being removed from World Trade Centers 1 and 2. Molten steel was also found at World Trade Center 7, which collapsed mysteriously in the late afternoon. So not only was this molten steel found weeks later under both of the towers, it was also found on the site of World Trade Center 7. Now listen to this clip.
One of the more unusual artifacts to emerge from the rubble is this rock-like object that has come to be known as the meteorite.
It's this fused element of steel, molten steel and concrete and all of these things all fused by the heat into one single element.
See, the meteorite, this stuff fused in everything. And now remember, they said when these buildings came down and collapsed, that the force of the collapse coming from the top of the building which failed pulverized all the concrete, all the office supplies, everything into a fine powdery dust. pulverized everything. Now, this doesn't make any sense. I don't think office furniture causes that kind of damage, you know? And I'm no scientist or no rocket scientist, what they say, but some of these people are, and they're the ones saying it. So I'm going by what experts are saying, you know, and I'm looking into what these propagandists over at the History Channel and Popular Mechanics say, and follow the money and find out that they're working for the same people who seem to have been behind the covering up of this event or behind this event, period. And that needs to be looked into. 5 months after class, molten steel was being pulled from the World Trade Center wreckage. 5 months later, a thermite reaction generates extraordinary high temperatures and provides a credible explanation for the fire's hot spots and the molten steel. A product by the name of thermite is found in collapsed buildings. Listen to Peter Jennings.
If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
Even he said you have to get to the under infrastructure of the building and bring it down. Dan Rather said it looked like an implosion. Thermite is used in demolitions. Dr. Stephen Jones got his hands on some of the debris, and he did some independent research and found evidence that thermite was used. So there's witnesses witnessing explosions way down, lower down in the World Trade Centers before the collapse, that there were explosions down in would be the basement area in the lower parts of the building, far away from where the jets crashed into the buildings. Now remember that when we get to witness accounts of this, there were explosions at the bottom parts of the building. Now, all of a sudden I heard a roar and I saw one of the towers blow. I saw from street level as though it exploded up, a giant rolling ball of flame. Now listen to this.
All of a sudden I heard a roar and I saw one of the towers blow and then collapse and fill the horizon with smoke, and I yelled, "Oh my God," and I saw from street level as though it had exploded up a giant rolling ball of flame, and the firefighters screamed, "Run," and I turned to run, but I fell and I felt someone scoop me up, tell me to throw my high heels off, and I was running in my stocking feet with him. And finally, as we ran and ran, he slammed me into a wall and covered my body with his. I could feel his heart beating against my backbone. And I think both of us were sure we were dead, because there was no way you could run fast enough and there was no way to avoid it. But somehow we escaped the flame, which was immediately followed by a storm of debris. We were breathing, it felt like giant particles of plaster, and there was smoke so that if you tried to put your hand out in front of you, you couldn't really see it. It was the thickest, most intense particle and smoke I've ever been in. And somewhere along the line, the firefighter handed me off to a New York police officer. The thing that struck me, though, was that I didn't see many wounded people in the street, which led me to believe, at least where I was by the Trade Center, they had never even gotten out of the building. I thought I was going to die.
Now, here's a guy who all of a sudden, he reported all of a sudden a huge cloud of gray smoke comes shooting up the stairway, and it was hot, very, very hot. And we're talking, you know, white smoke was emerging from the dust cloud, and white smoke is what thermite produces. I said, "Chief, we're evacuating the other building." He said, "No, why not? They blew up the other one. I thought they blew it up with a bomb." I said, "If they blew up the other one, you know they're going to blow up this one." The firefighter was saying this. You know, "Hey, we should get out of this building. They just blew up the other one." Even he knew they blew it up. All the accounts of the people who were there was explosions. We started walking back, and then I heard a ground-level explosion, and I'm like, "Holy shit." And then you hear that twisting metal wreckage again. This guy was an EMT worker. And I says, "I was standing next to World Trade Center 1, and then all of a sudden I heard rumbling, and we all started running away from it. The glass blew out and threw me on the sidewalk." And it said white smoke at the base of World Trade Center 1 seconds before it collapsed. It says the FBI most likely thinks there was a car or a truck packed with explosives underneath the building that also exploded at the same time. Listen to this.
Joining me is Jack Kelly. Now, he is a foreign correspondent, war correspondent, and just came back from Israel. He has some information about these attacks. Jack, what can you tell us happened first in New York?
Apparently what appears to happen was that at the same time two planes hit the building, that the FBI most likely thinks that there was a car or truck packed with explosives underneath the buildings, which also exploded at the same time and brought both of them down.
Now, that's the first time we're hearing that. So two planes and explosives that were in the building, is that correct?
That is the working theory at this point. That is still unconfirmed, but that is what the FBI is going on at this point.
Now, here in Washington, can you tell us what happened with this jet? We believe it's an American Airlines jet that was going from Dulles International Airport to Los Angeles. Can you tell us about that?
At approximately 9:45, the plane hit the side of the building over there. There are confirmed deaths at this point. This is thought to be part of a coordinated attack. This is the first time that U.S. officials will actually say that this is part of a coordinated attack, and I don't think it's exactly over yet.
It is not over yet.
They don't believe it's actually over yet. They're taking precautions. Within the last couple of minutes, the White House has approved sending two aircraft carrier battle groups, one into the Chesapeake Bay, the other outside of the New York City area, to prepare and defend for possible future attacks.
Now, Jack, as these battleships are headed out, does this mean war?
Lawrence Eagleburger, the former Secretary of State, just told us that this is a declaration of war as far as he is concerned. He said this is the biggest attack against the U.S. since Pearl Harbor more than 60 years ago. Osama bin Laden appears to be the number one suspect at this point, though nobody will go on the record and say this. Only Osama bin Laden has the sophistication to carry off a multiple coordinated attack. I've sat with his people, and they've said that this is something that they would like to do.
As recently as just a month and a half ago or so, isn't that correct, when you sat with Osama bin Laden's people?
In Dubai, and one of them at that point said that they were considering more attacks against the U.S. Also, what's interesting, 3 weeks ago, a U.S. official warned the Taliban through a third person was that should there be any more attacks, that the U.S. would respond militarily. At this point now, the Pentagon and CIA and the FBI have identified a possible 100 targets within Afghanistan to possibly strike back.
We are now preparing for war. Is that what I'm understanding?
Nobody will actually state that at this point, but there are always situations ready and battle plans ready just in case something were to happen. You know, this has been warned for quite some time. It's just a matter of when it would take place, and it took place today.
Jack Kelly, foreign correspondent for USA Today, who has covered several wars and has just returned from Israel, where there was a car bombing. He is reporting that the number one suspect is Osama bin Laden.
And there was other reports of this, that the FBI said that there was probably a truck bomb because of the reports that the explosion at the ground level. You know, this guy, notice he comes out and starts naming bin Laden as a suspect automatically. Right on September 11th, this guy works for the FBI. You know, they're talking about, we've already got a plan for the war in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, Dick Cheney, vice president, used to be the head of, CEO of Halliburton. And they've been wanting a pipeline through Afghanistan. And one of the first things that get done after 9/11 was to build that pipeline through Afghanistan to get the oil. It says thermite gives off a dense white smoke with very little odor. And there's a video of the smoke rising from the World Trade Center wreckage. And it should have been black, not white. The smoke is white because of thermite. The wreckage of World Trade Center 2 radiated the greatest heat on September 16, 2001. Thermite detonations would account for this. A thermite reaction generates large amounts of ultraviolet radiation. On September 27th, orders official 2,000 gallons of cryothecol with PFEF, which when added to water supplies a slippery low velocity foam. Berger adds that cryothecol also contains two powerful ultraviolet absorbers. So they treated the site for this kind of stuff. And you could see it. The core column shown above the fire was discovered after the collapse. The angle cut occurs in exactly the same manner that sliced through the steel beams to control the way they fall, which is the same thing we were talking about. Notice the hardened, once liquid metal was thermite used with the shape charge. So it was probably used with the shape charge, is why the buildings came down so quickly. And we're going to get into that in clip two. And that's why the buildings came down so quickly, and that's why they left such hot spots for so long. You know, 5 months is a long time. Now listen to this clip.
We've heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted, whether in fact there wasn't something else at the base of the towers that in fact were the coup de grace to bring them to the ground.
Now, they is video evidence of explosions at the base of World Trade Center 1. Seismographs at Columbia University's laboratory, Doherty Earth Observatory in Palisades, New York, 21 miles north of the World Trade Center, recorded strange seismic activity on September 11th that still has not been explained, which is the detonations or the bombs going off. The Palisades seismic record shows that as the collapses began, a huge seismic spike marks the moment of the greatest energy went into the ground. The strongest jolts were all registered at the beginning of the collapses, well before the falling debris struck the earth. These unexplained spikes in the seismic data led credence to the theory that massive explosions at the base of the towers caused the collapses. The strongest jolts were registered at the beginning of the collapse, well before the falling debris struck the earth. Now, what they were trying to say, the official story, and these so-called experts over here are trying to say that the force at which the building collapsed at the top, where the top failed, where the fires weakened the steel, the force of that collapse coming down just pancaked, or the floors just all, the trusses all gave way. They don't even mention the 47 steel columns and how they could, you know, give away all at the same time. But besides the point, let's pretend to believe them, that the force of this pushes down the building and pulverizes everything into dust. You know, when you can see it at the university where they had a seismic activity of the bomb going off before. And note, 6 seconds into the video, the camera shakes for a good second, too long to be a kick or a jolt. And they've got this to where you can see where moments before the collapse happens, shaking. And it shows the blooms of smoke exiting the opening of the fronting face of the building as well to the right. The second tower, the only one that was standing, tower number one, we saw some kind of explosion, a lot of smoke come out of the top of the tower, and then it collapsed down on the street, much like we saw the first tower just about a half an hour ago. Listen to this clip.
On any second floor, and I don't know where my peers are. I don't know. I hope to God they're okay. That's all I can say. I don't know what. We saw a shadow. It looked like a plane. Next thing we know, it was boom, boom, and the floor started shaking. And then we saw debris fall down, and next thing we know, we had to get out of the building. We stuck on the stairs for a while. We finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby, there's this big explosion.
See, this lady even says, we get to the lobby, there's a huge explosion in the lobby. And, you know, a lot of these experts here in popular mechanics and all say, well, there was fireballs shooting down the elevators when... And I've got it somewhere, and I don't have the information for this clip, but I'm sure we're going to get into it some in one of these 23 clips, is that the buildings were designed not to have a lot of oxygen and not to have a chimney effect in the elevator shafts and the stairwells. It was designed not to produce to have the kind of oxygen that would fuel that kind of stuff. It's just ridiculous. It says the streets of the financial district was covered with debris, in some cases ankle deep. Cars on fire, cars just turned over by the force of the explosions.
The streets of the financial district covered with debris, in some cases ankle deep. Cars on fire, cars just turned by the force of the explosions. It was like something no one had ever seen.
Yeah. Look at all that dust. I mean, these are videos. You can go to the website, harrythomas.info, and see these videos for yourself. And you could see, just standing there in the dust of pulverized concrete, steel, and everything else that was in them buildings. Listen to this clip.
As we were moving towards the building, we saw the top begin to blow out in a plume of smoke, and we heard the noise associated with an implosion.
We heard a noise associated with an implosion. Do you hear that, guy? This is evidence of demolition charges in World Trade Center 2. This guy here says that it sounded like gunfire. Bang, 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 bang. All of a sudden, three big explosions. Listen to this.
And then all of a sudden, it started like it sounded like gunfire. You know, bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
Says if World Trade Center 2 started exploding, says Rolf Miglat, 57, who works at the nearby Chase Manhattan Bank. It was about the 70th floor, and each second, another floor exploded out for about 8 floors before the cloud obscured it all. I saw small explosions on each floor. This is what this guy, an eyewitness, says. He saw the explosions. Firefighters were there. Ed Casciani, firefighter from Engine 53. It actually gave at a lower floor, not the floor where the plane hit, because we originally had thought there was like an internal detonation explosions because it went in succession. Boom, 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 boom. And then the tower came down. There's video of these firefighters telling about this. There's a lot of firefighters mad because the official story isn't out. They were there. Floor by floor, it started popping out. As if they had detonators, they planned to take down a building. Listen for yourself.
We made it outside. We made it about a block.
We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was as if they had detonated. Yeah, detonated. Take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down. I was watching it and running.
Says here, when I looked in the direction of the Trade Center before it came down, before number two came down, I saw low-level flashes. In my conversation with Lieutenant Vasilisha, never mentioning this to him, he questioned me and asked me if I saw low-level flashes in front of the building, and I agreed with him because I thought at the time I didn't know what it was. I mean, it could have been a result of the building collapsing, things exploding, but I saw a flash, 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 and then it looked like the building came down. Now, a flash, flash, flash is a detonation. That's what they do. You can go and look at any of the videos that they have of other buildings' detonation, and you'll see the flash, 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 boom, 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 and then the whole thing comes down, and you know, it's so much chaos, you could pull something like that off right in plain sight. Somewhere around the middle of the World Trade Center, there was an orange and red flash coming out. Initially, it was just one flash. Then this flash kept popping all the way around the building, and that building started to explode. The popping sound, and with each popping sound, it was initially an orange, and then a red flash came out of the building, and then it would all go around the building on both sides as far as I could see. These popping sounds and explosions were getting bigger, going both up and down, and then all around the building. And this was Karen Deshmore, a captain of EMS, who was right there on the scene. And there's a video showing the pops of the building. It was a friggin' noise. At first, I thought it was, do you ever see professional demolition where they set charges on certain floors and you hear pop, 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 pop? That's exactly what I thought it was. And when I heard that friggin' noise, that's what I saw, the building coming down. And that's Daniel Rivera. He was a paramedic on the scene. And it says, the sight of jumpers was horrible, and turning around and seeing the first tower come down was unbelievable. The sound it made, as though a terrorist planted explosives somewhere in the building. That's how loud it was. Crackling explosive, a wall. That's about it. Any questions? And that was James Drury, assistant commissioner of the Fire Department of New York. These guys were on the scene. They should know.
You have 210-story office buildings. You don't find a desk. You don't find a chair. You don't find a telephone, a computer. The biggest piece of a telephone I found was half of the keypad, and it was about this big. The building collapsed to dust.
Now, this guy is a firefighter, and he has a good point. You don't find a chair. You don't find nothing. You find a piece of a keypad. The building collapsed to dust. Peter Tully, president of Tully Construction, was notably the only person willing to speak openly with AFP about his work at the World Trade Center site. Think of the thousands of file cabinets, computers, and telephones in those towers. I never saw one. Everything was pulverized, Tully said. Everything that was above grade, above 6th and 7th floor, disintegrated. It was like an explosion. Tully Construction specializes in concrete. And asked Tully if he's ever seen concrete pulverized as it was at the World Trade Center. He said, no, never. And nobody's ever seen these steel frame buildings come down because of fire before either. And I've got this here. The World Trade Center was destroyed just days after heightened security alert was lifted at the 110-story tower. 9/11 firefighters said bombs and explosions were in the World Trade Center. Firefighter Louis Caccioli was called to testify privately before the 9/11 commission, but walked out on several members of the committee before they finished, feeling like he was being interrogated and cross-examined rather than simply allowed to tell the truth about what occurred in the North Tower on 9/11. My story was never mentioned in the final report, and I felt like I was being put on trial in a courtroom, said Caccioli. I finally walked out. They were trying to twist my words and make the story fit to what they wanted to hear. All I wanted to do was tell the truth, and they wouldn't let me do that. I walked out. It was a disgrace to everyone. The victims, the family members who lost loved ones. I don't agree with the 9/11 Commission. The whole experience was terrible. And that's what he said to the Arkin Beacon. You know, he's seen what happened. But they'd leave his testimony out of the 9/11 Commission report, the so-called official story. See what I mean here? They don't want the truth out. Listen to this clip.
A bomb in a building's not clear enough. Sorry, is this a bomb? What'd you say? A bomb in the building, start clearing up. Got it.
See, there was a bomb in the building. It started clearing out. They got a secondary device in that building. And then here it says they saw an airliner go into one of those towers, and an hour later, there was a big explosion from much lower down, and I don't know what caused that. Listen to this eyewitness.
There was another big, big explosion in the other tower. Flames coming out in this billowing gray smoke. People still not panicking. People not quite understanding what was going on. Then somebody said that they saw an airliner go into one of those towers. Then, an hour later than that, we had that big explosion from much, much lower. I don't know what on earth caused that.
And here again, Lou Caccioli, firefighter in World Trade Center 1, he said at that point, Caccioli had found only one of the functioning elevators, only one to go in as high as 24th floor. Tommy Hexel was with me, and everybody else gets out of the elevator when it stops on the 24th floor. There was a huge amount of smoke. Tommy and I had to go back down the elevator for tools, and no sooner did the elevators close behind us, we heard this huge explosion that sounded like a bomb. It was such a loud noise it knocked off the lights and stalled the elevator. Luckily, we weren't caught between floors, and we were able to pry the doors open. People were going crazy, yelling and screaming. And all the time, I am crawling low and making my way in the dark with a flashlight to the staircase and thinking Tommy is right behind me. I somehow got to the stairwell, and there were more people there. When I began to try and direct down, another huge explosion like the first one hits. This one hits about 2 minutes later, although it's hard to tell, but I'm thinking, oh my God, these bastards put bombs in here like they did in 1993. I guess about 3 minutes later, you heard explosions coming from Building 2, the South Tower. It seemed like it took forever, but there was about 10 explosions, Craig Carlson, a firefighter, said. And the audio tracks from all these are up at the website, harrythomas.info, what I'm talking about right now. Here's a video showing the lead-up in the collapse of World Trade Center 2. How could an aircraft impact at floor 78 plus of World Trade Center 2 cause numerous large explosions at the base of the building? And here's one, a firefighter shocked by a loud explosion. At 10:30, I tried to leave the building. I got outside. I heard a second explosion. And then the fire marshal came in and we had to leave because there was a third explosion in the building. These are all videos of firefighters on the scene trying to get some of the people out. And then there were secondary explosions and then a subsequent collapses. And then another one saying, as we were getting our gear on and making our way out to the stairwell, there was a heavy-duty explosion. Another one says, we were never really got close to the building. The explosion blew and it knocked everybody over. And there's just more and more videos up of witnesses. The day of 9/11, the reporters were going around talking to everybody. Lieutenant Fireman and former Auxiliary Police Officer Paul Isaac Jr. explained to me that many other firemen know that there were bombs in the buildings, but they're afraid for their jobs to admit it because the higher-ups forbid discussion of the fact. Paul further elaborated that former CIA Director Robert Woosley, as the fire department's anti-terrorism consultant, is sending a gag order down the ranks. There were definitely bombs in those buildings, he told me. And they've got a gag order on a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys fear for their jobs and stuff, their livelihoods. And it is just incredible. What I've got here is a little compilation of a couple minutes of 9/11 news videos reporting the World Trade Center explosions.
Okay, it's now the base of the World Trade Center. There seems to be now a second area there of smoke. So perhaps indicating that some sort of explosion or fire there. Now, of course, what may have happened, of course, with the all these systems compromised in the building, you may...
They won't let me go any closer. No one can go in to get the people out. There's small explosions still going on. We just heard another explosion. They're handing out gloves and masks. The consensus is it's too unsafe to go in there.
One of the fire department teams found them. But, We didn't think they were going to make it.
Well, certainly you got out.
Me and Mr. Hesh, Corporation Counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told them we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Flew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh. I said, this is it. We're dead. We're not going to make it out of here. I took a fire extinguisher and I bust the window out. That's when this gentleman here heard my cries for help. This gentleman right here, and he said, kept saying, stand by, somebody's coming to get you. They couldn't get to us for an hour because they couldn't find us.
Dave, let's take a look now at more of the chaos, the confusion, the sights and sounds in New York and Manhattan this morning when the tragedy struck.
Corner of the 82nd floor. I heard a noise like a sonic boom almost, and then a blast. The building swayed, shook a little bit. I saw papers coming fly out of the middle of the building, and then we went to the staircase to try to get down. We were going down. We got stuck on one floor because the door and the staircase wouldn't even open. So we went back onto the floor through some fire. We saw some fire and rubbish, and we went to the other staircase to come down. We made it all the way downstairs, and then when we were just about to come out of the building, there was another blast, and all the lights went out, and this is what happened then.
The glass came down?
We didn't see we were still inside the building. All we heard was a big blast, and the whole volume of air moved. And we came out through the subway.
Well, good to see you. What are your injuries? Have they told you?
The only thing I have is I have a little cut on my hand. That's about it. So I was real lucky. I don't know what happened to the people behind me when that blast occurred.
It just went ba-boom. It was like a bomb went off. And it was like holy hell coming down them stairs. And then when we finally got to the bottom, they were coming out on a mezzanine level there. And another explosion came right on me because everyone flying right in front of me. Everything just went boom.
For the 82nd floor, and I don't know where my peers are. I don't know. I hope to God they're okay. That's all I can say. I don't know what. We saw a shadow. It looked like a plane. Next thing we know, it was boom, boom, and the floor started shaking. And then we saw debris fall down. And next thing we know, we had to get out of the building. We stuck on the stairs for a while. We finally got down to the lobby. Then we get to the lobby. There was this big explosion.
And then all of a sudden, it started like it sounded like gunfire. You know, bang, 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 bang. And then all of a sudden, three big explosions.
Okay, now you heard it yourself. Explosion after explosion after explosion. But yet, just because these two elitists working for the lease owner of the building and government agencies say that, no, that didn't happen like that, we are supposed to believe it. Well, you make up your mind. I think it also should be noticed that the people at History Channel and Popular Mechanics never even approached the subject of the pods, the pictures of the pods that are underneath the planes before they crashed into the towers. Yes, and I've got the pictures up right in the news section of this clip one at Disputing Popular Mechanics, and it'll show little pods on the bottom of the planes before they went in, and there was a flash that occurred right before the planes hit the buildings. Now, they never even addressed this issue at all, and I think that should be noted. We're going to be in clip two talking about was the speed of the collapse too fast, and there's a lot of information about that. But we are going to debunk these 9/11 conspiracy fact or fiction on the History Channel and expose them for what they are, just shills for the elite New World Order. We're going to expose them. And I also wanted to say the Twin Towers were destroyed by demolition. What I talked about right now is just a small fraction of what evidence is truly out there. Get out there, investigate for yourself, get the facts, and then let people know about these shows like the History Channel and Nova, how the towers came down and all this other crap that they put out. Because these elitists are going to be stopped. And together we are going to make a difference. Thanks for listening to the Special Report, Clip 1.